Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. Let's pray and get right into this. Father, we thank you for what all is going on. Lots of stuff. Lord, we're in a month where we celebrate your birth. And Father, we couldn't be happier to go into this season, Lord. And so, Lord, just use us in this time. Be with this word. Take us forward in it. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. And on that note, there are plenty of these cards out there. You can take these, leave them in restrooms, leave them at the gas stations, leave them on your table when you leave with a good tip. Amen. With a good tip. Amen. Amen. Your waitress will definitely pick it up if it's on this, okay? But anyway, so get those out. And again, lots of things happening. Some people staying after today to help us out. And then a big one's next week when we tear everything down and get it set up, we're going to need you to sign up for food if you want to be fed that day. If you want to fast, don't sign up. We'll let you fast and be here with us, okay, and watch us eat. But if you want to eat, make sure you sign up. Let us know how many things of food we may have here for you. But we're going to do that. Everybody say amen to that. All right. Last week we talked about hearing. This week we're going to talk about seeing. And the title of today's message is kind of like that song says, do you see what I see? A star. No, not going to go no further. That's enough of that. You didn't have to agree that quick, okay? But anyway, do you see what I see? And some of you be like, well, I don't know what you're looking at. And now we can see the same thing, and you not see what I see, and I not see what you see. It's all a matter of perspective of what goes into what we call the gateway of our eyes. Amen. Everybody say perspective. We're going to talk a lot about perspective today. But I want to go ahead and put up the first note today. And it says, we all see things from a different perspective. And it can be based on how you were brought up, what influences you had around, the culture you were raised in, the set of beliefs and core values that you saw, not just heard, when you growed up. Amen? Because how many know you can tell a kid what to do, and then if they see you do the opposite, your words just fell in vain. Yep. Amen. It's not do as I say, it's do as you see me do. Yep. Oh, that's good right there. Amen. Amen. And so on that note today, us having different perspectives can be a good thing. Yep. Because if you're raised in a culture where everything is pitiful, everything is negative, everything is bad, you're going to see through those lenses. But if you were raised in a world where things can be better and you see opportunities, that's a different perspective. But at a certain time and point, we've all got to start seeing the same thing, the same way, with no good or bad on it, just what is truth. And so this morning, I want you to say a word with me, say absolute truth. See, absolute truth does not give you the pleasure of seeing things the way you want to see it. Absolute truth only has one view, and that's from the King who created absolute truth. So in other words, you don't get to have an opinion with absolute truth. Now, listen to me real closely. If you have an opinion about what you think may be a truth, that means you take the absolute away and you make it yours. Okay? You may have an opinion on what marriage is. Well, I believe marriage is whatever is in love with each other. It can be two dogs, two animals, two people, two same sex, whatever. And that can be your opinion and the way you see it from your perspective. But it's not absolute truth. Amen. Absolute truth of marriage is one man and one woman. Yeah. Well, that's not popular. It doesn't matter. That is absolute truth of the Word of God. One man, one woman, in holy matrimony. Outside of that is unholy matrimony. Well, I don't like that. Doesn't, again, let me say it to you. I'm not here to hurt your feelings. Doesn't matter if you don't like it. Doesn't matter if you have a different perspective. If you want to deal with absolute truth, that's absolute truth in the Word of God. You may say, well, other things about life. What's this? What's that? Who can be married? What honors God? Well, if you go to the Word of God, it's absolute truth, and there's no variance of it. You see it from that perspective, and if you see it any other way, it's a perversion of the truth. Amen. Well, we're going to go there today. Amen? Amen? And then there's sometimes the influence of other people's perspective can get you to see from a view to where you get offended because it's what somebody else sees. Yeah. It's an amazing phenomenon that's happening more and more as we progress in this world. Yeah. You hear different sides of things, you see different values, you see different perspectives, and it will have an allure of some truth to it or some compassion or sympathy for people. But yet at the same time, it goes against absolute truth. Yeah. It can sound sweet sometimes. It can sound entertaining at times. That's why the devil is known as the deceiver. What does he want to deceive? He doesn't want to deceive the lie. He wants to deceive the truth. The absolute truth is what he's out to destroy and deceive in churches, in believers, in pulpits, everywhere. And if we fall in and don't know our Bible, then it's easy for us to perceive, and that's another word for deceived. Anytime you begin to perceive something outside of God's word, you are deceived by the deceiver himself. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Now, we're going to kind of be heavy on notes today, so you might want to keep your cameras or your notepads, whatever you take pictures of the screen or what you want to do. But in the first scripture today is the words of Jesus Christ, him speaking these words himself. These are written in red. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure, everybody say pure. Pure. Blessed are the pure in their heart. Why? Because they're going to what? They're going to see God. Everybody say, see God. Wow. That is an amazing phenomenon still happening today. I hope you woke up this morning and you saw God. You may say, how's that? Did you walk outside and see his creation? Then you saw him. If I see you, I see his creation. I'm seeing God. I can see God's hand in his marvelous works all over when my eyes are open. Amen. But I want to take this down, and that's a quick little verse. A lot of times we quote here in the South, blessed are the pure in the heart. They're going to see God. Bless their heart. Okay, I don't want to go back into that sermon on that. But anyway, first of all, it doesn't say blessed are those that have a good heart. It doesn't use the word good or a great heart or a healthy heart. It uses the word pure heart. Everybody say pure heart. Pure. So that's the first prerequisite of seeing God. What's the condition of your heart? It must be pure. Now, some people, when you say that, going, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And I'm right there with you. Because on my best days, some days my heart still isn't pure with some thoughts that come through my mind. Some temptations that come our way. Not to like people, to be boisterous about it, to hold offense, to be unforgiving. It's a challenge to live in this world today. Amen? Amen? Even for a Christian, it's a challenge. But the word pure here does not mean perfect. Okay? Everybody say it's not perfect, it's pure. And purity of something goes through a process to get there. Water to be purified has to go through a treatment. Come on. The word pure, go ahead and put it up. It means to be clean. It means pure, it means clear. Clean or pure of a spiritual sense from the pollution and the guilt of sin. That's what a pure heart is. I love that last part there. It is sincere and it's upright and it's void of evil. It didn't say it was void of sin. It said it's a void of evil. Well, isn't evil sin evil? Yes, sin is evil. But evil means a purposed heart to do evil. Now, I know we split hairs sometimes, and let me tell you something. You're never going to sin without first thinking about it. It's got to go through your mind to come out your body. Amen? Amen? But sometimes we don't think. Or at least we don't ponder and think of the consequences. We just sometimes react so fast that we end up in sin. Not by accident, although sometimes it may feel that way, but we literally end up in sin sometime and look at there and go, man, how did I get here? My goodness, how did I? It was your choice, okay? And sometimes we're deceived in our choices and we perceive things and we've made the wrong decisions. Sometimes something didn't go right in our life and we got mad at God because we perceived he didn't love us enough. Yeah. Come on. And so then we start making decisions based on, well, God don't love me anyway. If he loved me, why did this happen? Why did this happen to my parents? Why did this happen to my child? Why did this happen to my marriage? Why did this happen to my coworker? Why did this happen to me? Yeah. Come on. And so when you begin to see out of the perception, the enemy wants you to see tragedies in the earth instead of what God says he can work it for. Didn't say all things would be good. He said he'd work all things toward good. Amen? Amen? So look at that last part. Clean or pure in a spiritual sense from the pollution and guilt of sin. Pollution. Man, pollution's awful. It takes something clean and makes it nasty. Makes it dirty. As a matter of fact, if you read on, it's basically the opposite of dirty. Pure is the opposite of dirty. Okay? Pure means that once it's dirty, you don't do nothing to clean it. It stays dirty. How many of you have taken a bath in the last week? We really appreciate that. Your neighbor appreciates it, especially if you raised your hand. The person sat beside that side of you thanks you a lot. Why did you take a bath? Because it's to get clean. Because at some point you've probably sweated or you got some dirt or you've been around something and you want to be clean. Now, will you probably get dirty again tomorrow and probably have to take a bath or a shower again sometime next week maybe? We hope so. Why? Because you got dirty again some. And that's what it's talking about our heart. Our heart is subject to all the garbage in the world. And sometimes it gets on you or around you enough to get you feeling like you're dirty again. That's why you got to purify, go back and clean that heart. Get it void of the pollution and the guilt of sin. Because when you know you can stand before God and say, Lord, I'm not innocent of everything, but I stand here today with a pure, clean heart because I've went through the process of asking you to forgive me, to release me, and to cleanse me. And he always does. Amen? Amen. And then it goes, not just a pure something, but it's a pure, everybody say, my heart. Go ahead and put up the definition for the word heart. The word heart means it's the seat of the desires. Wow. Your heart, first definition in the Greek, is the seat of your desires. Because how many times do we follow our heart and it leads us astray? Oh, my, 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 my. How that looks sometimes. Especially you younger folks. Got all those hormones raging. And you're confused in a time of your life. And somebody drops in and all of a sudden the first person that pays you a little bit of attention, you're in love. Because your heart just feels like it. Oh, be still my heart. Oh, my heart, my heart. And we give the most stupid advice. Follow your heart. That's the dumbest thing you can tell somebody. The Bible says the heart is as wicked as anything on the planet earth. Do not follow your heart. Follow the Word of God. But the Word of God will sometimes lead you somewhere your heart doesn't feel like you want to go. I mean, if she's gotten out of the crazy ward for the third or fourth time this year, the Spirit of God may be saying, you don't want to fool that, son. But your heart's going, oh, but she's changed, I feel. And ladies, he's gotten out of prison for the third or fourth time. Oh, he's changed in my heart. Look. Again, I'm not saying those people are unlovable and can't change. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will lead you if you don't listen to your heart, listen to him. Your heart will get you in some trouble. That's why He's proclaiming here, you've got to have a pure heart. Not a filtered heart through your desires and your wants and your ways, but pure, free from sin, free from deception. And let's read on what the heart means. It's the seat of desire. It's the seat of your feelings and your affections, your passions and your impulses. It's the heart or the mind. It's referred to as the same thing. It's your soulish realm. It can be the heart or the mind. The pure heart, meaning those whose center of life has been made pure by Jesus Christ. That means at the center of who you are, you want to do good. At the center of who you want to represent Christ well. And that's where the struggle comes in to keep your heart pure. Because the impurities of the world, the impurities of social media, the impurities of your friends and peer pressure and a job and society and political correctness and all that comes against a pure heart. Come on. And you're being torn to and fro. Do I do this and stay popular with my friends? Do I do this to stay in the in crowd? Or am I okay with just me and Jesus and having a pure heart with him? You better learn to be okay with just Jesus. But I love this thing here. So when you've got the pure heart, it says this right here. You are going to see God. You're going to see him. Everybody say see. The word see there, it means to see. Somebody say imagine that. It means to behold. And again, look at the definition, perceive. It means that you're going to perceive with the eyes, to look at, to implying not only the mere act of seeing, but also actually perception of what one sees. And that is where most of us get in trouble. We go off of just plainly what we see with our natural eyes. And the devil can do a lot of things that imitates God. Come on now. Matter of fact, one of the descriptions of the devil, he can appear as an angel of light. And if you're not versed in that and you're not versed in the rest of the scriptures, you will see this angel of light. And it's going to talk like Jesus. It's going to look like an angel of God. It's going to tell you some things you want to hear, and it's going to lead you down a path of destruction. That's why you've got to have spiritual discernment and spiritual eyesight, not just human eyesight. Can I have a better amen there from the younger crowd? Amen. So all this scripture, this one verse, go ahead and put up the next note. Basically, this right here. Go ahead and put it up. Seeing God is a matter of your heart. It's not a matter of anything else but the condition of your heart. And if your heart, your soulish realm, your mind is always occupied with the next thing and the next thing, and it's Christmas season, and I got to go get here, and I got to get this decorated, and I got to make this, I got to do that, it's no wonder sometimes you look around during the time we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus, and you ain't got no Jesus around you at all. Because you're seeing everything else, and you're not seeing what matters most. Now, I'm not saying that stuff's bad, but it's bad when it gets in the way of seeing who Jesus is. Amen? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us this. For we walk by faith and not by our sight. How many have heard that verse before? And your sight is what your faith believes. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Amen? We walk by faith. Now, who's we here? It's not the world we're talking about. The world does not walk by their faith. They walk by their sight. What he's talking to here is his own chosen people, those who have called on the name of the Jesus, who have surrendered their life to be born again of the King of Kings, who has taken their next step in baptism of his Spirit, raised up a new creature in Christ. We, now the church, the kids, the sons and daughters of the living God, we don't walk by what we see anymore. We've got a faith in Jesus Christ that leads us now. So my definition of that, not going to be on your screen today, is faith is what I believe regardless of what I see. Regardless of what I see, if the word has absolute truth, it doesn't matter what my eyes see anymore. My eyes see a lot of drunk pastors now. It's become common for pastors to drink socially and out and get drunk when they have a bad week at the office or a bad Sunday. Monday mornings, a lot of preachers are in the bottle real heavy. And we're seeing more and more of that. But just because you see more and more of it doesn't make it acceptable to God. We're seeing marriage be anything that wants to be nowadays. I see it passed at the Supreme Court. I see it promoted everywhere we go. But it don't matter what I see. Come on. I see where people are fighting for the right to kill a baby in a womb all the time. We see it everywhere. But there's an absolute truth that stands against what we're seeing. When we see in the natural, you'll support these things. But when you see through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there's no way you can stand with it. There's no way you can stand with it. Let me say it again. There's no way a Christian can stand with it. Amen. It's not possible. And I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, yes, it is, because I believe in that. It doesn't matter what you believe. That's right. It doesn't matter what you believe. What thus saith the Word of God. Amen. See, that proves you don't believe in absolute truth. You believe in your truth because of what you're trying to see, what you're trying to hear that appeases what you feel. And again, the world walks by feelings and sight. We walk by faith and not feelings of our sight. Oh, somebody get that in your crawl and let it stick. Put up the next note. Let me just say this right here. I'm going to use a word. It's called impossible. And let me just tell you this right now. In our times we're living today and throughout all time, it is not possible at all. It's not possible to see the supernatural things of God with just your natural eyesight. Amen. It's not possible. That's why a lot of the church can't see God moving in these days. They're good people. They go to church. They're faithful. They tithe. They help the poor. They probably did some stuff here giving to the poor. They're great people. But no supernatural spiritual side at all. Going through religious motions and emotions. Come on. How many people, raise your hand if you know that we feed kids in Guatemala. About half the church knows we have that. The rest of you are like, well, why don't you tell us? We feed kids in Guatemala. I was communicating with my Guatemala pastor down there, Otto Benila, this morning. Put on my heart years ago to do that. We call it the Guatemala footprint because we want to have a footprint there. We feed kids breakfast because they don't get breakfast if we don't feed them breakfast. And when I came home, and the last thing I am is a fundraiser. I despise that with everything in me. But I'm like, we have to have money to send. And so when I got up here to tell people, I said, here's what we're going to do. I feel this is the Lord, and I'm going to tell you about the need. And if you want to give to it, fine. If you don't, that's fine. I will not put pictures of the kids up here on the screen. Come on. I'm not going to do that. I've never done that. Okay? I'm not going to try to give you a sad story because I don't want you to emotionally see something that emotionally makes you give where the Spirit's not leading you. Because see, that's called manipulation. And I'm afraid it happens on Christian TV and Christian pulpits all across the world sometimes. Where if we want to draw money, we show you something where you can see it. We tell you the story where you can see in a world. We paint you a picture you can mentally see. And, oh, you'll get in your pocketbook and it won't even be the Lord telling you to give. It'll be your emotions. Yeah. And so I just simply told people, the tithe belongs to God. Right. Above the tithe, you decide. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to pray. If God says yes, you give what he tells you to give. I don't set no amount for you to give. Because it says, let every man decide in his own heart what he should give. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's Bible. Amen? And so I did about that long of a spill on it, and I left. And we raised enough money right out of the gate and still have people getting on board giving to that. And we're still feeding them now. Since COVID, we've been feeding kids breakfast, and we're going to continue to do so. Some of you may have heard that today and say, well, I want to know more about it. It's somewhere out there on the website. Look it up. But here's what I'm saying. You're not going to see the supernatural things of God in the natural. Amen. That's why it's called the supernatural things of God. Amen? Real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Paul writing to the church of Corinth here, Paul speaking here, he says, it is written, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah here. He says, 2 Corinthians, I have not seen. I sent y'all the wrong scriptures. My bad. It's somewhere in 2 Corinthians. Y'all look it up. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard. Then the Bible says, nor has entered the heart of man, we're talking about the eyes and the heart today, and the ears last week, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Yeah. Now that's quoting the prophet Isaiah. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared that love him. So why bother with all this if God's told us we can't see it, hear it, or understand it? Come on. I mean, that's in the Bible. So why should I be going after the things of God to see if his own word there in 2 Corinthians somewhere has declared that my eyes have not seen, my ears cannot hear, I can't even fathom in my heart, which is also my mind, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, and I love him. So all your message right now, Pastor, is a waste. No, it's not. And I hope they can find a scripture in there. Because the next verse answers the question. the next verse, after eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, the very next verse says this right here. But God, everybody say, but God. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, your natural sight, your natural hearing, your natural heart cannot perceive the things that God is doing and has prepared for those that love him. But they are seeable, hearable, feelable, doable through his Spirit. And that's the only way they're ever going to come is through the Spirit of God. Can I have a better amen there, church? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Watch this now. For the Spirit searches all things. Everybody say all things. Yes, the deep things of God. They got it up there. Give them a hand clap up there for fixing my mistakes this morning. What did I have? Chapter 1, verse 10? I had what? Well, it was close. It's 1 Corinthians. See, now this will stick with you better. Thank you, Lord. So he tells you, you can't see it, you can't hear it, it can't even come into your heart if you're in the natural. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's Bible. In the natural, it ain't going to happen. But thank God we're not just natural. There's nothing natural about you when you get born again. When you get born again, you become a spiritual being. Your spirit got saved. Gloriously saved. Hallelujah. Don't get excited. And he says, I am revealing things you can see, you can hear, and your heart's going to know in the spiritual realm. For I'm going to search all things. Everybody say all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. Amen? But only through the spiritual senses of God. Amen? What does that mean, a spiritual sense of God? It means a faith that trusts God more than anything else. More than anything else, you trust God. When it don't look good, you trust God. When you don't feel good, you trust God more. When somebody else is giving you a bad report, you trust God more. When somebody shows you something negative, you still trust God more. Amen? And when we say the verse up there, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man things that God has prepared for those that love him, most people's image of that is automatically what heaven's going to be like when they die. Come on, that's a natural sense. Has prepared for those who love him. Well, I'm preparing for heaven, and oh, heaven, my eye can't see, my ear can't understand. Yeah, oh, that's talking about heaven. There is a context of heaven there, but do you know that's not just heaven it's talking about here and now? Let me tell you something. I came here to tell you today, there's some things planned for you this afternoon. There's some planned things of God's Spirit for you Monday morning. There's a plan for you on Tuesday. There's a great plan for you on Wednesday. There's a plan of God for you on Thursday. There's Friday. There's Saturday. There's Sunday. There's a plan of God in the spiritual things wanting to happen in everybody's life here. But as long as you're walking in the natural, you're never going to see it, fulfill it, taste it, bless it, get it into you, give it away, whatever.
Hallelujah.
So some of us are stuck because it's us. Not because God don't have a plan and a vision for you. It's because you're too busy in the natural seeing the negative, listening to the junk, listening to the garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. Glory in, glory out. It all depends on what kind of Monday you want to have. I love Mondays. I don't golf on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. I don't golf at all. Amen? I don't take Mondays off. I don't even like taking a holiday Monday off. Why? Because I start my week off, bam, I want to come out of the gate getting it. And when I get out of my routine of not my Monday off, I'm behind the rest of the week, feels like. And well, I know you think that's weird, but that's okay. It works for me, okay? But thing, you know, God has been preparing things for you. He prepared this message for you today to hear. Now, what are you going to do with it? Come on. Oh, you got a lot of things prepared for you in the future, but you've got to walk by the Spirit to get there. All right, moving right along. Now, follow this. Seeing is believing. Amen?
Yeah.
Seeing is believing. Believing equals what I trust in. Come on. So when I see something and I believe it, that means I'm putting my trust in it. Another word for trust is that means my faith is there. So what I see to believe equals my faith. Because I begin to trust in what I see. So again, put the next note up. Watch this. So your faith, again, is where your heart is. That's why if you go back to the first scripture, a pure heart, you'll see God. An impure heart, you won't see God. You'll still walk in the same world, but without seeing how his hand is molding and shaping your day and your tomorrow and your future. Oh, come on. All that to get to right here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. See if I got it right. Put it up. We have a winner. This is quoted by a lot of Christians. It's a very familiar scripture. Trust, which means my faith, which means what I saw that I could believe in. And do you know one of the number one reasons a lot of people don't trust God? Because they can't tangibly see him, they think. But yet you look at his creation and all the creation declares there's a God. Even the rocks will cry out that there's a God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, we're back to the heart issue. And then it goes on and says, and lean not into your own understanding. Good advice. Next verse says, in all your ways. Touch your neighbor and say all. And tell your neighbor, you're so smart that you know what that means in the Greek, and it means all. See what I'm talking about. Sharp people in here. Doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of your ways. With what you decide, you want the part of the Bible you like ways. Let me say that again. It doesn't say with the part of the Bible you agree with and like. It says all your ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge him. Now watch this. And again, watch what he does. He's going to come in and he's going to direct your life. He's going to direct the path you need to go. But when you're not looking and seeing and trusting in him and you're trusting in what you see in the worldly eyes and you're hearing this and you're just following that stuff blindly without filtering it through the Word of God, man, that's, listen, guys, that's where we make our worst mistakes. Come on. Yeah. That's where sin begins to abound in our hearts and in our minds. It's not that difficult to defeat sin. It's really not. You trust in God with your heart. You look for what he's doing, and as you see God begin to move, it builds your faith in God, because seeing is believing. And then when you believe in God, you follow his word. And let me say it again. I think I said it a few weeks ago. You will never find God leading people into sin. You will never find God leading people to compromise. You will never find God leading people to make mistakes and spiritual failures. The Holy Spirit cannot lead you there. He's incapable of leading you into that. Now, back to some notes. Trust in the Lord with all your what?
Heart.
Go ahead and put up the word heart. This is where I kind of got happy when I was studying this. You see that word there? Word 3820. Now, we're talking Hebrew here. We're not talking Greek. This is Old Testament. This is found in the Hebrew. And it's pronounced, it's spelled L-E-B, colon. But the B is not pronounced B. The B is pronounced with the V sound. The literal word, Hebrew word for heart is live. Live. Trust in the Lord with all you live. That I don't want to bring it in some clarity. Trust in the Lord with all that you live. All your heart. Now watch this. The heart means it's the inner self or being. And since the heart is considered to be the seat of one's inner nature as well as one of its components, it can be used of a specific aspect of personality, the mind, the will, and your emotions. And I don't have time to break down spirit, soul, and body today, but let me tell you something. We constantly war our spirit inside of us that wants to trust God, that does. Let me tell you something. Let me back up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The spirit inside of you does trust God because it's just like God. One third of you, if you break up spirit, soul, and body, we're thirds. One third of me is pure Holy Spirit. One third of me is my body, physical body. One third of me is my mind, my will, my emotions, my conscience. We call that the soulish realm. That's 2 Thessalonians, spirit, soul, and body. One third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Does not doubt God, believes everything about absolute truth, believes the word, takes the word at word value, is full spiritual, no problem. So you never battle in the spiritual realm of what you got born again. Your battle is in the soulish realm. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your conscience, your heart, your flesh, your carnality. That's where the battle. That's why the Spirit says, or the Bible says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Okay? That's that soulish realm. Your spirit will always say, choose God. But your flesh will say, let's do something else. Let's chase after her. Let's chase after him. Let's chase after that money. Come on. Let's just go ahead and take while nobody's seeing. Come on. Let's rip somebody off. Oh, it's in good shape, I promise. Come on. See, we're tempted in our soulish realm. Your spirit will never rip nobody off. Your spirit will never commit fornication or adultery or any sexual sins. Your spirit will never lie. That's inside of every born-again believer. But that's why we get to war or do war against those things of the flesh, because God does not want us to be robots. That's why he says, I want you to trust in the Lord. If he wanted robots, he would say, you will trust me and you don't have a choice. But then what kind of God would that be? That would no longer be a God. It would be a dictator. He gives you the free will to choose him and to follow him and to obey him, because that's where real love comes from. Nobody made him send his son. He freely gave his son. Why? Because that's pure love from a pure heart. See, a selfish love would have been, you ain't killing my son for none of y'all. My son is totally innocent. All y'all are guilty. Aren't you glad Jesus, our God, didn't operate by his feelings? Amen? So trust is how you perceive something. Come on now. Let me say that again. Trust is the perception you have of something, someone, or an object, or a lesson. And when we get outside trusting the Lord, then fear and doubt and what we need to trust in becomes to us. Is that too deep for y'all? Are y'all okay? Anytime we step outside the boundaries of trusting God and God alone, we're now opening ourselves up to perception of deception. Every time, in every case, no matter what it is. And we open ourselves up to it. God didn't lead us there. Yep. Now, and don't lead to our own understanding. In my own understanding, just in the natural, I will always begin to doubt God. Yeah, me too. I'm just like the rest of you, absolutely. If I don't stay in the spiritual realms of God, standing on the promises of the Word of God, what I see happening in the world, what I see happening to innocent people, wars and rumors of wars and all this other stuff, in my natural, everybody say in the natural, I can start doubting God too. And that's what it's designed for. Every bit of life outside God is designed for you to begin to doubt and not trust, put your faith in God and Him alone, but to put your faith in your own understanding, thinking, I got a better way than God. Come on, and that, let me tell you something. That's exactly what you're saying when you don't trust God. God, I think I got a better option here. I think I'm just going to take this and do this with it. I'm not going to pursue this. I'm going to pursue her anyway. I'm going to pursue him anyway. Well, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Turn to your neighbor and say, your perception has to be given to you by God. Why? So that you and I can see like he sees. You can have a perception. Every one of us do. Every single person in here has your own perceptions about everything in life. Politics, money, kids, family, marriage, sin, law, everything, politics, government, everything. Everybody has perception. But when our perception's for God, it's for us to see like God sees and to begin to think like he thinks and to begin to hate what he hates. Check your Bible, that's in there. Everything God, there are seven things God hates, six things that God hates, and the seventh one is an abomination unto him. Y'all know what the seventh one is, by the way? The seventh one, listen to me now, listen to me real closely. The seventh thing that the Bible says, these six things are bad. And I can't quote all the six things, the shedding of innocent blood, those are blah, 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 blah. But that seventh one, man, I wanted to make sure I knew what that one was. Yeah, lying tongue is one of them. That seventh one, it says it's the worst, he can't stand it. He loathes it. Those, listen to me, here, quote, those who sow discord among the brethren. Boy, he's got a lot to be mad about in a lot of churches, from a lot of pulpits, from the front door to the back door, across social media. Woo, be careful. All right, let's get back here and we got to wind this up. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. Go ahead and put that next note up. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart is a place of absolute surrender, which a lot of people do not want to give absolute surrender over to the Lord. We don't mind surrendering some things, but there's some things we like to keep control of. There's some ideas that was ingrained in us from blessed mom and dad or auntie and uncle or mama, papa, whoever, and you just love them so much it doesn't matter what God says. Come on. And God bless mom and dad, me and PP or whatever you want to call them. God bless them. But if they were deceived, do you want to be a generational deceiver yourself? Well, in other words, I have no personal interest in my own opinions. That's a mouthful. Can anybody else say that? I have no personal interest in my own opinions, only his. Only what the Lord says. Absolute truth. Whew. And then it says, and we're going to kind of wind this down with this right here. It says, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. What does that mean? I see you. Hey. I see Blake down here this morning. Hey, Blake. I just acknowledged him. But that's not what that means. That's a casual, I don't know what he's going to do this afternoon. I don't know his plans this afternoon. I don't know where he's going for lunch or if he's inviting me or what. I mean, I'm waiting. Yeah, not putting you on the spot here, but I like my steak medium well. Or excuse me, not medium well, medium, just medium. It's not talking about waving at somebody saying, hey, how you doing? The word acknowledge is the word yada. Everybody say yada. Yada has about 12 different meanings in the word of God. Yada is also a word for praise. It's a heavy word used for praise throughout the Psalms. Okay? But in this instance, the word yada is meant for acknowledging. Amen? In all your ways, yada God. Acknowledge him. Yada means, it's a verb meaning, it means know him. It means to learn God, not to just know about him, but to learn God. To learn your God, to perceive as he perceives, to discern like God discerns, to experience God, to confess to consideration, and to know him rationally and relationally. Not just talking about that non-intimate, how you doing. Yada means you get intimate with God. It means you know he's got a plan and a purpose for you. It's the best one out there. You acknowledge he's God of your life. You acknowledge you're surrendered to him. You acknowledge that your opinions don't matter. Only his word. Anything less than that is a hand throw up, see you later, I got my own day, I got my own plans, I ain't got time for you. Well, good, preach it, amen. This yada word right here in the Hebrew is the exact same word found in Genesis when the Bible declares in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2 or 3, that Adam yada Eve, and they brought forth a son. He acknowledged her. How many know he wasn't waving at her? When it says he knew, it's the word yada. He acknowledged her, not just in a wave, but in an intimate way that brought forth the Son, brought forth the plan of God. Right. And that's the type of intimacy God says here. When you trust in the Lord in all your ways, and you don't lean to your own feelings and your understandings and what everybody else's opinion was, and then you acknowledge Him. You perceive Him, you discern Him, you experience Him, you confess Him, you consider what He is and how He is, and you know Him through a relationship of intimacy. That's when you know you trust in God. And when you acknowledge Him in your life on that level, what does it say He'll do? He's going to direct everywhere you go. And we've already established He's not going to direct you into failure. He's not going to direct you into sin. He's not going to direct you into messing up all the time. He's going to direct you in a righteous path. So do you see what I see today? And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about when God says, do you see what I see? Do you see what God sees when you look in the mirror? And that's where we like to beat ourselves up, except for you that are just so vain that you think you're all that in a bag of chips. You get in that mirror and you're like, oh, you are so good. Most of us get in the mirror and say, that's faulty, that's faulty. That's faulty, that's faulty, that's faulty. That needs to be better. And sometimes you're talking about your appearance, the way God made you, and we all have some things we would probably change about our appearance. But God made you perfect. God made you uniquely in His image. Don't despise what God made. Make it the best that God made. You get to be the caretaker of the temple. And if it needs some changing and some directing and it needs a coat of paint, paint the barn. Amen? Nothing wrong with a little paint on the barn. Say amen. Amen. Come on, get me out of here. Now I got one last question I'll ask you. Do you see God in every area of your life? I didn't say some of it. I said every area of your life. We all probably have a few, if you're a Christian in here today, maybe you've been born again a while and you've been doing this Christian thing. You may have some areas in your life you feel, man, I know God's moving there. Guys, some of us, we're at the job and sometimes we don't know why, but we know God's moving to us in that job. We're there not just working for the company, but we've got an assignment for God there. And we can see God moving. He's got us into that place, and it wasn't what we thought it was going to be, but He's still blessing us sometimes, and there's good days and there's bad days. Can I tell you, no matter what job you go to, there will be perks and privileges and there will be problems. You're not going to get away by running all the time. But sometimes God, when that season's over, He'll boot you over here, and you can see God. And I prayed for the promotion. I got it. I prayed for the different job, and it came through. Man, you can see God. It's ladies, sometimes, man, you can see God in your home because you've been blessed with a home, and you've decorated. You've made it. You took a house, and you made it a home, and you can see God moving. And you feel good in those areas where you know God's moving. And it makes you feel accomplished, and it makes you feel valuable. And that's the way it's supposed to make you feel. But you can't just operate on feelings. But so many people, when I say, do you see God moving in your finances? Oh, God, no. I need God to move in my finances. Do you see God moving in your 5 years from now? Some of you are just thinking, I'm just trying to make it through this year. Come on, you can't see God in the future. Amen? Do you see God in your past failures and mistakes? Some people say yes, some people say no. Because you're still haunted by your past failures and mistakes. Because you haven't seen God walk through that and forgive you of it. And can I tell you, He's probably already forgiven you, especially if you ask, you just haven't forgiven yourself. because you don't trust God enough to forgive yourself. Do you trust God? Let me ask you this. Do you see God, since you've been born again, that he's given you some spiritual gifts to use for his kingdom? Have you seen the spiritual gifts that you've gotten and possessed? Because you didn't get born again and not get a gift. Most of us get multiple gifts of God. Have you seen God in your gifts lately? Well, if you hadn't been using them, you can't see them. And now this right here. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Bow your heads. Anywhere in life right now, and I'm not meaning this from a condemnation way, I'm meaning this from a let's get set free way this morning. Anywhere that you're nervous about something, you're walking in fear and you're afraid about something, you're intimidated by something, you're frustrated in something, you're anxious about things, that's all a big indication of a place that you haven't fully yadad and acknowledged God as Lord yet. In those areas that the enemy keeps you tore up from the floor up, what he's doing is he's keeping you from acknowledging yadah, being intimate with God in that area of your life so much that you trust him beyond what you're seeing. Because you see the bills, you see the problems, you see your past all the time. It's being brought up. You see the mistakes. You know your mistakes that nobody else knows about. And the enemy just wears you out sometimes. And I'm here today to tell you, I want you to see what God sees. He doesn't see an empowered enemy with your past or your future. He sees a defeated enemy in his name by his blood. And he sees you the head, not the tail. He sees you above it and not beneath it. He sees you a wonderful created in his image. But until you see that, you're living your life less than acknowledging who he really is in your life. And that's not a condemnation. And I use that word yet. And I want you to get some spiritual sight today. I want you to acknowledge him. Because when you acknowledge him, you trust him, you see him, you believe him, you put your faith. You're not walking by your opinion. You're not walking by your past. You're not walking by what other people think or care. You're walking in the absolute truth of Jesus and the freedom of his word today. Let me say it again. Today, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean into your own understanding. And in all your ways, yadah, acknowledge Jesus. And he's going to guide your path. I believe that's what we all want in this season of life. So Father, right now, the first thing is, those that have never acknowledged you as their Lord and Savior, you know about him, but knowing something and acknowledging on this level is two different things. We're not asking you just to know about him. We're asking you to yada, to acknowledge him, to invite him into an intimate relationship where you surrender your will and you pick up his cross and his banner and you carry the name son or daughter of God. And so today, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we always want to give you that opportunity. And today you will not receive a religion today. You'll receive a king and a kingdom. And you will not join church today. It's not about that. It's about you surrendering your life to the King of Kings and acknowledging him as your king and you as his son or daughter. And you cannot pay for your sins, but he did, and you're acknowledging that. And you're asking for his forgiveness, and you're repenting and turning from your ways, and you're trusting God more than anything else for the rest of your life. If you're ready to make that commitment to him, he's standing there with arms wide open. So just lift your hand and say, today's my day. Just anybody here, just lift it up. How many of us today would say, I've gone to church all my life, or most of my life. I believe in God. I acknowledge he's real. But I've never yadad. I've never brought it into that intimate place and trusted him with everything. There's things I've held on to out of my past. There's things I'm afraid of about my future. But I know that there's a peace that passes my understanding that comes from God. And as a Christian today, I want to throw my hands up and say, I yadah you today, God. I yadah. I acknowledge you as my Lord. I acknowledge you as my source. I acknowledge you as my banker. I acknowledge you as my breath. I acknowledge you as my future. I acknowledge you as my career. I acknowledge you with everything I am. You're my health plan. You're my retirement plan. You're my insurer today, God. Lord, you are my marriage today, God. You are my parent today, God. You are everything to me, God. And I want to acknowledge you in that sense, in an intimate way. And I want to spend more and more time with you on a daily basis through your word, through prayer, through worship. Because outside of that type of acknowledgement, you become just an idol. And you're not an idol, you're God Almighty. And so Lord, be with the hands and the hearts that lift it up right now, that we may trust in you and we may acknowledge you in all things beyond what we see, what we feel, or what we think in our flesh. They've been revealed to us by your Spirit. And we will learn to walk into that. Everybody say learn. It's a process. But until you start that first step, you'll never go anywhere. So I'm challenging you today. Take that first step of learning and growing and becoming in your maximum potential of your future. Everybody say, that's me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise in this house. Hallelujah.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.